The Dhamma for today is called the Adhiṭhāna Dhamma. Adhiṭhāna. Adhiṭhāna is a word we know from the Ten Perfections. So there it refers to fixing your mind on something. Determination, we call it. When you're determined to do something, just determined. You make a determination. May this happen, may I do this, may I become enlightened, that sort of thing. So these dhammas can be interpreted as four dhammas that we should fix our mind on. We should be determined to attain these four things. They can also be understood, and probably more literally should be understood, as things that are fixed or that are strong, like pillars. A pillar is something that you can build upon. If you don't have strong pillars, you can't build a building. The pillars are the thing which keeps the building stable and upright. So these can also be interpreted as four things that protect us, that we can depend upon, that free us from the uncertainty of samsara, the uncertainty that comes from being buffeted around. When we lack these four things, we just wander like a boat adrift on the ocean. So the four adhiṭhāna are paññā, wisdom, satya, truth, jaga, sacrifice, and upasama, tranquility or peace. So these four things are called the adhiṭhāna dhamma from the Saṅgīti Sutta, Digha Nikāya 33. Paññā is obviously something that we are very much keen upon, but it's worth reminding ourselves that this is what we are aiming for. We make determination, may I be wise, may I gain wisdom. Our inclination to practice vipassana is of this sort. We have come to practice vipassana because we are inclined to gain wisdom. Wisdom is of, it's of three kinds when you talk about the origin. The first is suttamaya paññā, from listening. So listening to a talk on the Dhamma, listening to the Buddha speak, of course, would be the ideal. Listening to a teacher, an arahant who has passed down the Buddha's teaching. But even just reading the Buddha's teachings in the suttas, this is suttamaya paññā. Nowadays you can read and you can consider that like hearing. Even though you're not hearing it, you're hearing the words in your mind by reading them. The second is cintamaya paññā, from thinking about or trying to understand the teachings. Obviously, just repeating them, reciting them, even just reading them doesn't get you anywhere unless you understand them. So when you think about the teachings, this is cintamaya paññā. These two kinds of wisdom really don't get you all that far. They obviously aren't enough to lead to enlightenment. You can't just hear the Buddha's words and become enlightened, no matter what anyone says. But even thinking about the Buddha's teaching intellectually, it may seem obvious, but sometimes it's quite subtle, where a meditator will narrate to themselves, yes, this is impermanent, yes, this is suffering, yes, this is non-self, oh yes, this one is unsatisfying, I can see because of this and this and this. And that's not vipassana, that's not seeing clearly. That's not the deepest sort of wisdom. That's still cintamaya paññā, from thinking about it. It's not strong enough to free you from samsara, to free you from craving and clinging. It's not strong enough to lead to enlightenment. The third type of wisdom is bhavanamaya paññā, from seeing, from mental development. So through the practice of cultivating mindfulness, there comes clarity, clearly seeing the three characteristics, seeing things arise and cease, and not just seeing once or twice, but seeing to the point where it becomes a knowledge, a full clarity and familiarity, where the mind knows that all sankharas, all formations are impermanent, all formations are unsatisfying, all formations are not me, not mine, not under my control. In the commentary to this Dhamma, though, it mentions two types of wisdom, which is another way of determining wisdom. One is kamasakata wisdom, which means wisdom that knows that things like karma are real. This is mundane wisdom. So the mundane wisdom of a Buddhist is to know that do good deeds, you'll get a good result. Do bad deeds, you'll get a bad result. What leads to heaven, what leads to hell, that there is heaven, that there is hell, that there is mother and father, and so on. There's a whole list of things that wise people understand and appreciate. But this isn't the isn't the wisdom that leads to enlightenment. It's not the deepest, highest sort of wisdom, though it's valuable. The more valuable one is vipassana panya, wisdom that comes from seeing clearly. Again, this is the same as bhavanamaya panya, but particularly vipassana panya, which vi means clearly, pasana means seeing. So from seeing clearly for yourself. Seeing clearly what? Seeing the three characteristics, impermanent, suffering, and non-self. So this is wisdom, and this is something that we, of course, are intent upon. We shouldn't be content just with hearing or thinking. We should be dedicated to seeing clearly for ourselves. But more importantly, when we do see clearly for ourselves, this is something we can rely upon. It's an adhitana. Adhitana is a station or a place, and adhi means a strong one. So it's a fixed and firm position. For like we would say in English, if you take a position on something, the firmest position, of course, is one based on wisdom, because it will be based on reality and insight and depth of understanding, much more powerful than some kind of persuasive position based on logic or extrapolation or that sort of thing. The second is satya, which has a twofold meaning. It can mean truth, and I guess that's probably what it means here, but it can also mean sincerity. And they're related. So truth means saying the truth, for example. If you speak something that is true, of course we should be dedicated to speaking the truth. We should be dedicated not to lying. But we should also be sincere. So sincere in things like wishing people well. It's quite possible someone might be wishing other people well, but having a hard time really feeling it. But thinking, as a good Buddhist, I want to wish them well, so we might say it out loud, insincerely. It's certainly possible for people, and it's quite a common thing for people to be insincere. Sometimes people will do it to look good, to make people like them, that sort of thing, but without the sincerity. And obviously that's not ideal. We should strive always to be sincere. But the deeper idea of truth means we should strive for the truth, not only in speech, but we should strive to see the truth and to understand the truth. We should strive to depend upon the truth. The truth being the difference between concepts and ultimate reality. We shouldn't be dependent upon ideas or things, you know, people, places, and so on. In Buddhism, the focus is more on the senses, so we should be focused more on the ultimate reality of experience. Seeing is real, hearing is real, smelling, tasting, feeling, thinking. This is something that we can actually come in contact with. When you rely on things like people and places and things, you can never come in contact with these things. And so our problems, if they are conceptual, if you say your problem is this sickness or that sickness, or your problem is genetic or that sort of thing, all these things are conceptual. We're just thinking about them. We're not actually experiencing them. That's why the Buddha said, remember, focus on the senses. This is what's real, what's here, what's now. This is what's really the truth, satya. The third is jaga. And jaga is of two kinds as well. Amisa jaga, which means sacrificing things, physical possessions. Now, as monks, we've done this to a great extent. We've given up a lot. Even though nowadays monks have things like phones and even computers, some monks have cars or ride in cars. Mostly monks do ride in vehicles nowadays. So we do take on some of the things. We have books, for example, you know, pens and paper and all these things. We haven't given up everything. We use things as tools. But we have given up a lot. If you talk about a misa jaga, we have given up a lot in terms of giving up money and giving up a home, giving up the stability of a job, giving up the luxury of a nice bed, a nice room, a nice house, nice food. Food is a huge one because we've given up any preference. We're not able to choose, today I want to have this kind of food and that kind of food. Sometimes we get the same food day in and day out. It can be quite challenging for us. This is a valuable thing. It's something we should dedicate ourselves to because it helps us free us from greed, free us from attachment. If we dedicate ourselves to giving up these things, it helps us see our attachments. Even not yet talking about this qualities of mind, just the physical act of giving things up can be very valuable as a training opportunity. And you can see this as you live as a Buddhist monk or as a Buddhist meditator, craving this food or that food, craving this object of the sense, these possessions that we had before as rich and living luxurious lives. Now we don't have these things. It forces us to confront the true depth of our addictions and our attachments. But obviously, giving up physically is not the most powerful or most dependable activity. We can see it's quite common for meditators or monks to become dissatisfied and have a real hard time living without the things that they crave. Sometimes monks will disrobe because they crave romance or sexuality or even just because they crave food. It can be very, very hard, as we've talked about, without a deeper training. So the real jaga is kilesa jaga, giving up the defilements, or akusala jaga, giving up the unwholesomeness. So our real practice, what we are really determined upon, is giving up the three roots of all evil, greed, anger, and delusion. And all of our practice, all of our focus, this is our adhitana, is to, our determination is to be free from these things. May I be free from greed. Our whole life, everything we do, we should constantly be reminding ourselves, I'm trying to give up greed. Is this helping me give up greed, anger, delusion, these things? And so we practice dana to give up greed, we practice sila to give up anger, we practice meditation to give up delusion. And likewise, when we do cultivate this jaga, when we do actually give up the defilements, it has an incredible strength, and it's something we can depend upon. People who have greed, who have great greed, great anger, great delusion, are constantly enslaved by it, and tossed about, made to say things and do things and think things that cause suffering for themselves and for others. So a person without these things has a great refuge and a great support. That's another meaning of the word adhitana. I mean, it is a thing you can depend upon. And the fourth adhitana is upasama. Upasama meaning tranquility or peace. On an ultimate level, it doesn't just mean feeling calm. Upasama is a word the Buddha used to refer to nibbana. It ultimately means the great peace of freedom from suffering, or the cessation of suffering. So we are determined upon this. We are determined upon tranquility externally as well. We're determined upon living a simple life, not getting caught up in worldly or complicated activities, not making things overly complicated, living a simple life. This is something people who aren't monastics should engage in as well, should strive to simplify things. Live a simple life. Don't make things more and more complicated. Don't go into debt when you don't have to. Don't get caught up in relationships that are not valuable or that are not wholesome and beneficial to everyone. Don't make things more and more complicated. Try and simplify it. Live a tranquil life. Obviously, as monks, this is something that we are acutely aware of. We're constantly faced with this the very visceral sort of complications that arise on a day-to-day level. Because our lives are so simple already, we can very, very quickly feel when things become complicated. And so we should think to ourselves, as a monk, I should try to live as simply as possible. Do what I can to be tranquil and to find tranquility in my mind. But most importantly, and what we are really determined upon, is the attainment of Nibbana. This is why we undertake not just ordinary meditation, but we undertake the meditation that we call vipassana, means meditation to see clearly. We don't just want to feel calm. We want to see the three characteristics. We want to see that the things that we cling to are not worth clinging to. We want to face them. Face the things that we are scared of, face the things that we like and dislike and things we doubt and worry about, and understand them, become familiar and see them clearly until we give up greed, we give up anger, we give up delusion, because we see they're not worth reacting to, they're not worth getting upset about. And then the mind lets go and we become free from suffering, attaining Nibbana, which is the true upasama. This is what we are determined. We are determined on Nibbana as Buddhists. And more importantly, once you attain Nibbana, a person who has attained Nibbana is a Sotapanna at the very least. And this is the greatest refuge, the greatest support, the greatest thing that saves us from the wandering aimlessly in samsara, tossed about by the defilements, by wrong view and by greed and by anger and all these things. So it's the greatest support that we have. These are the four adhidhana dhamma, something that, just another way to understand the Buddha's teaching, understand the practice that we undertake. Good things, as always, as with all these things, good things that to remind ourselves of, that keep us on the path and keep us striving, reminding us that we strive, and this is what we strive for. So that's the dhamma for today.